Okay, we are in the book of St. John, chapter 4. And if you remember, we finished first 24 verses. Now we are going to read verse 25.
The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things.
Now this lady was talking to Jesus Christ, all spiritual matter. And now she is saying, you know what? You are telling us we will have the Spirit of God. We will worship him with the Spirit and truth. And you don't have to go to the mountain. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You will have the Spirit of God and you will worship God. Because he said, God is Spirit, and whoever worships him, they should worship him with the Spirit and truth. So she said, you know what? The Messiah will come. The Christ will come, and he will teach us all things. So we are waiting to Messiah to come. She didn't know, if you read the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Please read.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
See, the Savior is born, which is the Christ the Lord. And this good news the angel gave, and they said, this good news for all people. But the Samaritan lady didn't get this news yet. So when Jesus Christ is telling her, you are telling me that you are waiting for Messiah to come. You are waiting to Jesus Christ to come. I am the one. What he says, I am he. Do you know when Moses asked God, what is your name? He says, I am. That's the same way Jesus Christ says, I am. What the Moses was looking for and what you're looking for. Now you have all kinds of problems. When you have financial problem, what Jesus Christ says, I am the answer for your financial problem. Any problem you take, Jesus says, I am. Because our God is not the God was. Our God is, and our God is all the time. So when she heard this is the Messiah. I thought he's a prophet. But now I learn he is the Messiah, the Christ. And she wanted to tell others what Jesus Christ is all about. How many people receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and they don't tell anybody? Not to their wife or children or neighbor. Nobody knows you are born again. When you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the Messiah, you should not keep quiet. You should be telling others, I found the Messiah. I found Jesus. See what the lady did. Go back to the St. John chapter 4 and verse 28.
And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men,
Jesus Christ was alone. The Samaritan lady came, he started talking to her, he convinced her that she needs the living water, and not only that, he told her, I am the Christ you're looking for. And in the meantime, the disciples came. Do you know how many disciples Jesus had? Matthew chapter 10 says 12. Luke chapter 10 says 70 more. 70 plus 12. How many? 82 disciples. Now just think that 82 disciples comes. And now they are crowded. Lady might have something to ask or something. But when she saw all these people coming and standing and looking at Jesus Christ with the eyes like a surprise. So this lady walked away. And the disciples start thinking, we never saw Jesus Christ talking to one lady alone. Now, what he was saying to her and what he was asking, He was asking water. He was asking bread. Or what he was asking. They did not say what he was giving to her. They were saying what they were asking. Read the verse 27.
And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?
Yeah, what are you seeking? What are you asking her? What do you want from her? What are you talking to her? And they were not telling Jesus, but they were saying to themselves. So they were secretly talking to each other and trying to say, we want to know what Jesus Christ was saying. But Jesus Christ did not answer them or did not say anything to them. Let's read the verse 29.
Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?
Now the lady who came to fill the water, she was thirsty. When Jesus Christ says, I'm going to give you the water, I believe she got the water. Her thirst went away. She did not say to Jesus, let me fill this pot and I'll go and then I'll tell other people and bring other people to you. She didn't say anything. She dropped the pot, ran. Do you know when Jesus Christ called the blind man? When he was saying, oh, Jesus of Nazareth, oh, King, oh, the son of David, have mercy on me. People started saying, stop, stop, stop. He kept on crying. Jesus said, bring him here. Now he had the stick, he had the pot, everything. The word of God says he threw everything and went to Jesus Christ. Once you get Jesus, you don't need that pot, you don't need that stick, because you're going to see, and you're going to see your dirty clothes, you don't need them anymore, and you are going to walk with Jesus. So once you are born again, child of God, you have to follow Christ. That's what the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is all about. He says, when you are in Christ Jesus, what you are? You are a new creation. Behold, all things become new, and the old things are passed away, and all things became new. So what happened when you call upon Jesus? Jesus comes in, all the dirt is gone, all Jesus Christ washed you with his precious blood, you are a newborn creation, and now you follow Christ, and people are going to look at you, and they are going to recognize that you are a child of God. This lady said, I don't care about the pot. And you know what, in our countries, when you go to get the water, they don't bring some mud pot or things like that. They have all expensive potteries putting on their head and then put the water in that and they came. They last like a brass or maybe copper, those kind of pottery. And they're expensive. She didn't care. She dropped the pot and went back to her village or her town. And she started telling other people. What she is saying, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She is saying, I did all kinds of sin. And I was hiding from people. I didn't want anybody to talk to me. That's why I came in the noontime so other girl will not find me. But now Jesus Christ told me everything about my past. Would you like to come and see? Let's read.
Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat.
Now here is the situation. Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, and the lady goes and talks to those people. Now those people heard the lady's voice. The word of God says she went to the all men. She did not go to the ladies to tell him, could you come? They say, hey, I don't want to hear you. You are the bad girl. I don't want to talk to you. So she knew only the people who committed sin with her. She can tell those people, hey, now I am changed. I don't want anything from you. But do you want to know Jesus, forgive my sins. He came into my life. I want to introduce Jesus Christ to you. Would you like to come? And those people also might be hungry for salvation. And they said, okay, we will come. So she talked to the man. Now, in those days, all men used to wear white clothes. So just think, the whole city is coming. And you see from far, all the field will be white, like a ready to harvest. Now here the disciples, while the lady is gone, nobody's with him. Now these disciples are saying, Master, they are not saying, but they are praying. He said they prayed him, verse 31. They says prayed him means humbly requested him. Master, you remember we went to village or we went to town to purchase the food. We bought it for you. Could you please eat now? Because Jesus Christ is very happy, very joyful. His thirst is gone. His hunger is gone. And he is seeing those people coming, hundreds and thousands of people coming to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So his eyes on those people. He knew that what lady is going to do. She didn't say, what I'm going to do, why I'm going, why she left the pot, I'm going and bring people. She didn't say anything. She just walked away, just like she was scared of these 82 people coming, so she ran. But Jesus knew, once somebody recognized Jesus Christ, they will never turn his back on Jesus. You remember one man was doing signs and wonders and miracles and healings. And John came and said to Jesus, do you know we want to stop that man? He is doing everything in your name and he is not our disciple. What Jesus Christ says? Leave him alone. Who is with us, he cannot be against us. That means he wants to do gospel to go around the world. Let the whole world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should not be envy to other churches. I just heard there is a Chinese church opening in our neighborhood. So I sent my son, go and find out what they're doing. So my son went there and introduced to themselves and say, we are here, International Christian Fellowship, and we are happy that one more church in our neighborhood reaching out to the people of God. So we are not jealous. We are happy. We want all languages and all people should come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So now these disciples are begging Jesus, please eat this bread. What Jesus is saying, let's read verse 32.
But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat?
Now see, when Jesus Christ is saying, I have food that you don't know. Then the disciples start thinking. Now, they did not say, did this lady bought the food? What they said? What man bought the food to him? So they didn't want to blame Jesus that this lady bought the food for him and he ate the food and now he's satisfied and that's why he doesn't want food. And we went to that town purchasing food and bringing the food, and we didn't eat, and he ate before us. And now he said, I have the food that you don't know what you have. And so they might be wondering what kind of food he's talking about. Who gave this food? What man bought this food to him? And who satisfied his hunger and thirst? Because we were hungry, we were thirsty. Now he says, I have food. Let's read a little bit further.
Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work.
Now he is telling them, what is his food? He says, My food is to preach the gospel of the kingdom, tell them about the heaven and Father, and this is my work, and this is my food, and what I have to do? I have to finish this work. That means I have started this work now to finish it. That's why on the cross of Calvary, what did Jesus say? It is finished. So now he was working and he wants to finish the work. That means I want to go to cross and I want to shed my precious blood for mankind and then the work will be finished. And so he is busy working. If you read in Luke chapter 10, he said, you know, I want to go to several places, but I cannot go alone. So we want to appoint 70 more disciples. And that's why he had 82 disciples going in different parts of that city and part of that country. So here he's saying, I have the food. My food is not ordinary food. My food is the preaching the gospel of God. And I want to spread this news, and I want to finish the task. This is my job. And then he says to them, let's read a little bit further.
Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together.
Now he's saying, you are saying in the harvest is coming, wait for 4 months and the harvest will be there. He says, lift up your eyes and see what you are showing. Not the corn or crop. He was saying, look at your eyes. Look at those people coming. And they are like a cotton ready to harvest. When you say cotton field and go and see, when they're ready to harvest, you will see all white field, all cotton white. You won't see branches, you won't see leaves, you don't see anything. The birds are popped up. And then you see all white floor. And so he said, look up. And so they lift up their eyes. What they're seeing? Hundreds and thousands of people. This was not a village. This was a city, Samaritan city. So that lady worked hard in few minutes or a few hours. And she might have said, you go and tell everybody. And everybody telling everybody. And they bought the whole city. And when Jesus Christ, looking at those people, coming like a ready to harvest. And so he says, look up and see the fields are ready to harvest. And he said, you didn't do anything. He says, one person sows, another person reaps. So he's trying to say, I already sowed the seed. And now your job is to harvest. And so he is trying to say, just rejoice together. Don't be sad that I'm not eating your food. Don't be sad that I sent you to the village to bring the food. Don't be sad that I didn't care about your water and food. Rejoice that the hundreds and thousands of people coming to the kingdom of God. And let's read a little further.
And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors.
See, so the people before you, he is trying to say, people before you, preach the kingdom of God. Preach the gospel to many. Don't even understand what they were doing. They keep on sowing. Let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 1 and start reading from verse 10 to 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
See, those prophets, he's talking about the Old Testament prophets. They prophesied about Jesus. They told everything what is written about him. And they did not know what they were doing. But they were doing everything to let us know what Christ's work is all about. What the Jesus Christ is all about. What his crucifixion is all about. What his coming to this world is all about. All those prophesied. Prophecy, they prophesied. They didn't know. But they were talking about his suffering. They were talking about his resurrection. They were talking about his ministry. And they didn't know what they were doing. So they were doing all these things. Let's read the verse 12.
Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
See, he says, these are the gospel they preached. They didn't know what they were doing, but the Holy Ghost now revealing us what these Old Testament prophets were doing. They were prophesying about Jesus Christ, giving the good news, giving the gospel, giving the everything what Jesus Christ going to be. And already they laid the foundation. They already saw these words. And then he says the angels also looking into this. What does it mean? The angels are excited. They are saying, wow, what God has done for mankind that we cannot receive it. Do you know we are greater than angels? Because Jesus Christ did not redeem the angels. He redeemed mankind. So we are greater than angels. So angels are a little bit jealous. They are saying, wow, what they got and we didn't get it. So they want to see what God is doing. So the Jesus Christ is saying, do you know the saying, one man starts sowing, but all other people get together the harvest. And so he's saying, the already prophet did the job, and now I came and I did the job, and see the field is ready. Now you don't have to sow anything. Your job is to just reap. And so reapers and the sowers, they are going to have joy together. Let's go to St. John chapter 4, verse 39.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did, that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days.
Now see, this lady bought these hundreds and thousands of people, and they came and they listened to Jesus Christ, and they like what he's saying. If they didn't like it, they will blame the lady. You deceived us. This man is a crook. Why did you bring it here? But when they heard Jesus Christ, they were impressed. They wanted to hear more. So they requested him, could you please come to our town? And Jesus didn't say, do you know I'm hungry and thirsty? I didn't eat anything. I'm not coming. My disciples might be angry. He didn't care. He said, okay, I'm coming. So Jesus Christ went to that town, which the Israeli people didn't have any dealings, and he stayed there 2 days. That is a miracle, that Jesus Christ is coming. Once you have a desire to hear the word of Jesus Christ, he will come to your house, he will come to our heart, he will come to your car, he will come to your home, your town. Wherever you go, Jesus Christ will come with you because you want his company. So these people say, come to our town. Let's see what happened. Verse 41.
And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Amen. You know what these people are saying? You know, woman, thank you. Thank you very much. Telling about Jesus. Now, not only you said it, but now we heard from Jesus. Now they're hearing twice. She said the message once. Now they're hearing again. So they heard twice. And so what happened when they're hearing word again and again? What happens? They got a faith. Book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17, it says what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So now they got a faith. And what they're saying, we believe this is the Christ. This is the Savior of the world. Not only Savior of Samaritan, not the Savior of Jewish people. He said this is the Savior of the world. What does it mean? Now this is our job, to preach the gospel throughout the world. Let's go and tell everyone, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That's why we cannot keep the gospel to ourselves. Go to highways and byways. The word of God says, go to highways and byways and compel them to come to church. How many people are doing it? We just busy, busy, busy. We don't have time to read the Bible. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to go to church. And we're going to church just because if I don't go, somebody will say something. And that's why I'm going. And so our job is to telling others. Nobody's paying me to go on the highways and byways, but God inspiring. Samaritan lady, Jesus did not tell her, could you go to the town and tell somebody about me? No. She herself went. She dropped the bucket, dropped the pot, and left. I don't care about the pot. I don't care about tomorrow. I don't care who is stealing. I'm going to tell the world. The first mission work is where? Your hometown. Your house. The word of God says, if your household are not saved, or if you're dealing with them like enemies, you are not worthy for the ministry. When those people will call for the ministry, they said, you should be well respected in the community. If somebody wants to work with me and wants to ordain, I want to know what his wife talks about him. I want to know what his friends talks about this person. I want to know how he's in the community. Is he gracious to other people? Is he a good man? And is he born again? Is he filled with the Holy Spirit? Is he taking the right kind of baptism? Is that person is waiting upon the Lord to come? That's the kind of person I want to be ordained in the ministry. If somebody says, you know what? Point I'm making. We don't want preaching. We want your heart. We want your life. Donkey can preach. Do you know donkey preached? Yes. Donkey can preach. Animal can preach. But the animal cannot live a holy and clean life. Animal doesn't know who is my father and who is my mother. They don't know who is mother and father. They forget. But we are the people of God. We have to live clean and holy life. Once you receive Jesus Christ, our life is cleaned. Our slate is clean. Now we can say, hey, you want to see Jesus? Look at me. I'm transformed. I'm changed. Come to church. Come to the Word of God. Listen to my testimony. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, this lady told the people, they heard it, say, ma'am, thank you for telling us about Jesus. But now, we are not telling what you said, what we heard. Now we know he is the Messiah. He is the Savior, not for myself, but is for the whole world. That means I'm going to tell what you did, that one lady, but the whole city. Now just think that all those thousands of people, what they're going to do? They're going to bring thousands of people. What God did? God sold his son, sacrificed his son. For what? So he can get many sons. Jesus Christ said in the St. John's 12th chapter, some people came to say, we want to see Jesus. He said, what are you looking at me? I'm the grain of the seed, grain. It has to put down in the ground, and that has to die, and then come out of the ground, and then brings the hundredfold of the crop. What God did, he sowed his son, he killed his son, he sacrificed his son. So now we have billions of sons and daughters coming to God, and it's not finished yet. We are the one preaching the gospel. That's what I said. We are here to fulfill the prophecy of Christ. The word of God has to preach around the world. And somebody says, oh, well, word of God is preached already around the world. Talk to your neighbor and ask, did he give his heart to Jesus? Did she give her heart to Jesus? If not, the gospel is not reached to that person yet. You remember once I said, I was preaching the gospel. I was standing there, breaking my heart, sweating, and midnight, giving altar call. Many people came, and one person standing there at the pole and smoking the cigarette and so proud. So I said, sir, would you like to give your heart? You know what he said? Sir, because he knew I'm from north. He's from south. He's from Kerala. Kerala, first disciples came to Kerala in India in AD 56 or 52. So now he's so proud that gospel came to my country, my city, before Pastor Peter heard it. So he said to me, sir, the gospel came to my country before you heard it. I said, I'm so thankful to God that gospel came to Kerala. But sir, It didn't come to you yet. Because your heart is stone, you are smoking, and you are living in sin. I will be glad if the gospel comes to your heart. So what I'm trying to say, there are people going to church. They will be filled in the Palm Sunday or Easter or Good Friday or Christmas. And all other time, they will be in bar or they will be in casino or somewhere. What I'm trying to say, if you found Jesus Christ, tell the world. That is the testimony. If you are not testifying, that means something is wrong with you. You are living in sin or secret sin or something that you have fear telling others about Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ in you, you should have holy boldness. Okay, let's go and read further. Verse 43.
Now, after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum.
Now here Jesus Christ is saying, the prophet is not respected in his own country, or own city, or own house. When you're telling your own people, your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your sister, your brother, they don't respect you. You know why? They will say, I know who you are. One day you are up, one day you are down. I don't listen to you. But if I'm living a clean and holy life, they may not respect me, but somebody will respect me. Outsiders. And that's what Jesus Christ was saying. He said, I went to Samaria. Whole city followed me. And they said, come and sit with us and stay with us for 2 days at least. But here I come. I went to Jerusalem. Signs and wonders and miracles happened. And most of the people from Galilee came there and they saw all these miracles. Where are those people? People supposed to say where Jesus Christ is saying before they go, people should be lining up. But not in Galilee, not in Capernaum. Many times Jesus Christ says, Capernaum, you will have a hard time when God is going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. You people did worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what he is trying to say in Capernaum. So now he is coming to Cana Galilee, and here comes one man. And one man came to him, and he is also the ruler of the synagogue. And he comes to him begging something. Let's read.
When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death.
Now see this man. His son is point of death, means he can die any moment. Now he comes himself. Now the journey is not like 1 or 2 hours. It's maybe 1 or 2 days journey. So now he comes thinking, Jesus Christ in Cana Galilee. And he knows in that town he did a miracle. The water turned to wine. So now he came to that town. I'm going to go and tell him, do one more miracle for me. And what he was trying to say, my son is dying. It's not ordinary sickness. His point to death means he can die any minute, any second. Now, this is his situation. Go to the Mark chapter 5, and this is another man, and his daughter also was point to death. Verse 22 and 23.
And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live.
Now see these two people. This Jairus, also the ruler of synagogue, great man, but he comes and falls on the feet of Jesus Christ. and begging him, "My daughter is dying. Could you come and heal her?" This another nobleman is also like a Jairus. He is not falling in his feet. He is not kissing his feet. He is not begging. He just says, "My son is going to die anytime." And what he's saying, if you don't come, he will be dying. Let's go back to St. John. Verse 49.
The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die."
You said, "Come down, otherwise my child will die." So what he was doing, demanding, "You better come, otherwise my son is going to die. Do you know who I am? I'm the ruler of the synagogue. Everybody respects me. I'm a big man. I'm a noble man. You have to come." So he is forcing Christ to come to his house. If otherwise my son is going to die. Otherwise, what he's trying to say, if my son dies, you are the responsible. You better come. That's what he's trying to say. And the Jairus story, when the Jairus was saying, "My daughter is dying in point of death," some man comes. His servant comes and says, "Don't bother, master. Your daughter is already dead." What Jesus Christ said, "Don't believe that story. Your daughter is going to live." And he went and raised that daughter. Here Jesus Christ saw this man has no faith. Go ahead. Verse 50.
Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way.
So what Jesus Christ is saying, you know what? I'm not coming. In the beginning he said, "You people do not have faith until you see the miracle." Now he's saying, you know what? I'm not coming to your house. You better go your way. And when this man believed in his heart, if he says go, he said, "Go thy way, your son is what? Liveth," means he's not dead. He's alive. He's not going to die. So he's saying, "You don't come, my son will die." So what he's saying, "I'm not coming, your son is not going to die. He's alive." So he goes home. Let's read verse 51.
And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth."
Now see, who is this man? He says, when he was going down, his servants, not one servant, servants. So from that you know he's not an ordinary man. He has many servants. One man could come and tell him, "Your son is alive." But all these people got excited, his servants. They're running to tell the master, just like somebody came and told the Jairus, "Your daughter is dead." Here these people coming, not to saying, "Your son is dead," but they're coming, "Your son is alive. Don't bother master to come to our house." But when he comes halfway, that not one servant, but many servants come to greet the master, the nobleman, the ruler of the synagogue, very highly educated man. And then he wants to know when this son got healed. Let's read.
Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house.
See, when this man asked what time this child was healed, they say seventh hour. Do you know seventh hour means in our calendar 1 o'clock in the afternoon? So he says, "Yesterday afternoon, 1 o'clock, your son got healed." So he looked at his, I don't know, he had a watch, but he looked at the time, exact the time Jesus Christ says, "Go thy way, your son is alive, he's not dead." And exactly the time it happened. So what happened? This man says, when he heard that, he told the story to these people. You know what? Jesus healed my son. Exact the time I was talking and begging Jesus to come. But Jesus Christ didn't come. But his word has power. He speaks the word and things happened. You know, there was another military army man came to Jesus and he says, "Sir, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed." And exactly happened. Jesus Christ is proving to people that he is God. God has power in his tongue. So he has given us the same power to us. God is a healer. So Jesus Christ said, whatever the miracles I did, you do also. And you'll do greater. We have to believe it. We are here, his hands, his feet, his body, to telling others about Jesus Christ. Now this nobleman coming to his house and testifying that whole house and all the servants that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is a healer. He is God. He healed my son. So the word of God says, whole family believed. That's what the word of God is saying. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. What he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, and what? Your household. So you have the responsibility. If you're born again, you want to go and tell your brother, your sister children, your brother children, your neighbors, your friends, your family, I heard about Jesus. Jesus Christ is the living God. I received him. I want you to receive. I want you to believe. He says he told everybody. He believed first, and then whole house believed that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so let's read the following last verse.
This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee.
Now here's a second miracle. Somebody say, oh, one miracle he did, the water to wine and healing the nobleman's, only two miracles? No, in that particular town. So you can see that town had very little people, little faith. They can drink the wine and rejoice. They can see the miracle, but only two families saw the miracle. One the wedding and one nobleman's son. Only two miracles happened in that town. So what I'm trying to say, sometimes you're living in your neighborhood for many years and not a single person gets saved in your neighborhood. Or nobody will know that you are a Christian. Go to my neighborhood. All my neighbors knows who I am. I told them about Jesus Christ, and many of them knew what Jesus Christ is all about. Wherever I go, any neighborhood, any place to live, or any place to even stand on the bus stop, and somebody's there, I will not keep my mouth shut. I will tell that person about Jesus Christ. How about you? Let's rise and say, Lord, I'm going to tell the whole world that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. He is the Savior. He is the God. There is none like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You have given us eternal life. You have given us everything what we need. Give us that kind of faith. Just speak the word to our mountains, to our problems. And your word says if you believe in your heart, as you pray, you believe it, that you receive it already, and then you will have it. Give that kind of sound faith so we will not have any problems, but we will have solutions in the name of Jesus. Your word says we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Give us grace to be strong and healthy in the word of God. Give each and every person that supernatural power to preach the gospel, to witness to somebody, bringing them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, help us to win the souls for you. We commit our bodies, our souls, our spirits into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.